Episode 11, The King's Dominion.
In the scriptures of the prophets, one of the Messiah's titles is the Arm of the Lord. The miracles of Jesus showed him to be God's arm on earth. With a touch of his hand or a word from his mouth, the sick and dying were instantly made well. Great crowds came to him, bringing the lame, the blind, the crippled, the mute, and many others, and laid them at his feet, and he healed them. The words of the prophets were being fulfilled. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, those who have leprosy are cured, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the good news is preached to the poor. There was no disease Jesus could not cure. Now a leper came to him, imploring him, kneeling down to him and saying to him, "If you are willing, you can make me clean." Then Jesus, moved with compassion, stretched out his hand and touched him, and said to him, "I am willing. Be cleansed." As soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy left him, and he was cleansed. When the sun was setting, the people brought to Jesus all who had various kinds of sickness, and laying his hands on each one, he healed them. Moreover, demons came out of many people shouting, "You are the Son of God!" But he rebuked them and would not allow them to speak because they knew he was the Christ. Jesus did not want the demons testifying about him. These evil angels had witnessed his authority and power when he spoke the heavens and earth into place. They shuddered as they recalled the day he threw them out of heaven. And now he was living on earth as a man. Their master's dominion was crumbling. The King of Glory had invaded their domain. Wherever Jesus went, Satan's power was being weakened. Wherever Jesus went, sin's curse was being rolled back. Along with the miracles, Jesus had a message. "The time has come," he said. "The kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the good news." Jesus selected 12 men to travel with him and learn from him. Also following him were many women. They supported Jesus and his disciples by giving them food and money. To those who believed in him, Jesus' call was simple: "Follow me." But his call was also costly. "Anyone who loves his father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Anyone who loves his son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me." Since several of his disciples were fishermen, Jesus often spent the day down by the Sea of Galilee. People came to him from near and far. Once again, Jesus began teaching by the lake shore. There was such a large crowd along the shore that he got into a boat and sat down and spoke from there. After a day of teaching, Jesus said to his disciples, "Let's go to the other side." He was already in the boat, so they started out, leaving the crowd behind. But soon, a fierce storm came up. High waves were breaking into the boat, and it began to fill with water. Jesus was sleeping at the back of the boat with his head on a cushion. The disciples woke him up, shouting, "Teacher, don't you care that we're going to drown?" When Jesus woke up, he rebuked the wind and said to the waves,
Silence!
Be still! Suddenly, the wind stopped, and there was a great calm. Then he asked them, "Why are you afraid? Do you still have no faith?" The disciples were absolutely terrified. "Who is this man?" they asked each other. "Even the wind and waves obey him." Who is this man? 1,000 years earlier, the prophet David had already answered the question. They were at their wits' end. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he brought them out of their distress. He stilled the storm to a whisper. The waves of the sea were hushed. Who can calm the wind and waves by simply speaking to them? The same voice that created them. One day, four men carrying a stretcher with a crippled man came to the house where Jesus was. The men tried to push their way inside, but the room was so crowded they could not get in. So they climbed to the roof, removed some tiles, and lowered the mat into the room right in front of Jesus. Seeing their faith, Jesus said to the paralyzed man, "My child, your sins are forgiven." Jesus knew that this man's greatest need was not to walk again, but to be forgiven of his sins. But some of the teachers of religious law who were sitting there thought to themselves, "What is he saying? This is blasphemy. Only God can forgive sins." Jesus knew immediately what they were thinking, so he asked them, "Why do you question this in your hearts? Is it easier to say to the paralyzed man, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or 'Stand up, pick up your mat, and walk'? So I will prove to you that the Son of Man has the authority on earth to forgive sins." Then Jesus turned to the paralyzed man and said, "Stand up, pick up your mat, and go home." And the man jumped up, grabbed his mat, and walked out through the stunned onlookers. They were all amazed and praised God, exclaiming, "We've never seen anything like this before." The teachers of the law were blinded by their religion and pride. Their thoughts went something like this: "Jesus, you are a blasphemer. You are insulting God because you claim to forgive sins, but only God can do that." They were right in thinking that only God can forgive sins. But they were wrong in their conclusions about who Jesus is. Who do you think Jesus is? Do you remember the meaning of his name? It means the Lord saves. In one Palestinian town where Jesus taught, the people came to this conclusion: "Now we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this man really is the Savior of the world." Jesus had dominion over every part of creation. Yet he didn't go around saying, "Worship me! I am God! I am God!" He simply did the things that only God can do, and then let people draw their own conclusions. Based on the next two stories, who do you think Jesus is? Jesus went to a town called Nain, and his disciples and a large crowd went along with him. As he approached the town gate, a dead person was being carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow, and a large crowd from the town was with her. When the Lord saw her, his heart went out to her, and he said, "Don't cry." Then he went up and touched the coffin, and those carrying it stood still. He said, "Young man, I say to you, get up." The dead man sat up and began to talk, and Jesus gave him back to his mother. They were all filled with awe and praised God. On another day, Jesus visited two grieving sisters, Martha and Mary. 4 days earlier, their brother Lazarus had died. "Lord," Martha said to Jesus, "if you had been here, my brother would not have died." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live, even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?" "Yes, Lord," she told him. "I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who was to come into the world." Jesus came to the tomb. It was a cave with a stone laid across the entrance. "Take away the stone," he said.
"But Lord," said Martha, the sister of the dead man, "by this time there is a bad odor, for he has been there 4 days."
Then Jesus said, "Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone. Jesus called in a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out!" The dead man came out, his hands and feet wrapped with strips of linen. Jesus said to them, "Take off the grave clothes and let him go." The Lord Jesus is the only person in history who could say, "I am the resurrection and the life." His works proved that his words were true.